John chapter 13. John chapter number 13. I'd like to give you a simple thought today. It sounds simple, but we don't seem to do it in a simple way. Verse number 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let the church say amen. Our Father, for your help, we plead. I need you. I know you don't need me. So I pray you speak to hearts and do a great work. Thank you for being God. I pray, God, that you would bind the devil, keep him from interfering in the service. The Spirit of God has been moving. We don't want the devil to mess anything up. Help us. At a crowd this size, I'm convinced that there are some sitting in the building, standing right now, who have never accepted Christ as their Savior. They've never been washed in the blood. They've not been forgiven forever. They don't understand about all their hope. It's in Jesus. Might that get settled before they leave today? Do a great work in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ was about 3.5 years. At 30, he began that earthly ministry and died approximately at 33.5 years old. He came for one reason. Please, please don't miss this. He came for one reason. He was born to die. Don't you think Jesus came down to earth to see it? He made it. He didn't come to earth to see people. He made them. Everything he needed to see on earth, he could see from heaven. But what he couldn't do from heaven was die for the sins of the world. So he came, born in a manger. He came meek and lowly. He came not as a king, but as a lamb. He came not with pomp and circumstance, but he came in, if you would, a degree of lowliness and humility. But ladies and gentlemen, don't let it be lost in all of religion's nomenclature. He came to die. Sure he did. Assembled around him 12 men for most of those 3.5 years. That would be known as his 12 disciples. And just about everywhere he went with them. They went with him. What a joy it was to watch him do all the stuff he did. When folks get saved and in their infancy in this thing called Christianity, we often direct them to the Gospel of John. We tell them a great place for a new Christian to start reading is the Gospel of John, because John is centered around the life of Christ. And if you're going to become a Christian, the best person for you to read after is Christ. I'm amazed at how much Christianity today has nothing to do with Christ. I mean, if you take Christ out of Christianity, you just got a bunch of anity. Amen. I'm glad for Jesus today. And so he spent these 3.5 years with these fellas, and now he's getting ready to go. Not long. They're enjoying themselves. Don't you enjoy your time with Jesus? They're enjoying themselves. And now he's getting ready to go. His hour is come, John 13, 1. He's about to leave the world and go back to heaven. In between where he is and where he's going is something called a cross. And he can't get back there unless he stops there first. And so right before, right right before he's getting ready to leave at the time of the feast of the Passover, right near when he's going to be crucified, the man Jesus, whom they've watched give the lame walking, give the dumb talking, give the deaf hearing, give the blind seeing, restore withered hands, cleanse the lepers, forgive the debtors, calm the raging storm, feed multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They've watched him do it all, and they're amazed at him. Now watch him now as he rises. Grabs a bucket and a towel, and one by one begins to wash their feet. Oh, what a scene. Who should be washing who? He washes their feet one by one. We believe he washed every last one of them. What a sight. What a man. If you were Jesus and you knew who you were, would you be washing anybody's feet? Them some dirty feet. Especially back then. He proceeds to talk with them. One of you's a devil. One of you's a devil. And the one that I give this bread to after it's been sopped. Hey, amen. That's how you know sopping is of God. They were sopping it in John. You ought to sop it now. Ain't nothing but a piece of bread sopped. Amen. Glory to God. Some of you thinking, right, I don't like my bread touching anything. You need to get right with God. Bread meant to be sopped. One of you is the devil. I don't have time to dissect all of this, but Jesus lets Judas know, I know it's you. And by the way, you ain't right with God. Jesus knows. It appears that he had a conversation with John about who he was going to give it to. And it seems like it was only John that knew, because after he gave that to Judas, the Bible says that the rest of the disciples didn't know what he was talking about. So it sounds like he had this conversation with John, but Judas knew. Everybody doesn't need to know you're not right with God, as long as you and God know. And out goes Judas, the devil. He walked out. By the way, the devil didn't force him out. He let the devil in and then he walked out. Nobody makes you listen to the devil. You make a choice. And it's almost like there's a proverbial sigh of relief when Judas exits. Isn't it amazing when the devil gets out the crowd? Peace comes in. And now Jesus can talk about being glorified. Now he can talk about the cross. Now he can talk about what is going to happen to him. Now he can talk about the fact he's going to go to heaven. He can talk about the fact he's going to ascend. He can talk about the fact he's going to die on the cross and suffer for the sins of mankind, that they've been with him for nearly 3.5 years. And yet he had really not let them in on the fact of the cross. I'm leaving, and when I leave, you're not going to be able to find me. You're going to look for me and not find me. And where I'm going, you can't come. You got to stay. Whew. These fellas must have thought, he's leaving us, he's leaving us. He can't leave. Everything we know that's good is bound up in him. Everything we've learned that's productive, we've learned from him. Everything that impresses us, we've watched him do. Every good thing about us, we've gotten from him. And now he's going to suffer, he's going to leave, he's going to die. We won't be able to find him, and we can't go where he's going. No, you got to stay. With the backdrop of nearly 3.5 years of ministry and a future on earth without the man that meant the most to them. Before he left, he said, since I'm leaving and you can't go, and since you're staying while I'm not here, let me tell you what to do while you stay. And I want you to hear it this morning. Love one another. That's all you got? Love one another. I mean, Jesus, you've been here for 3.5 years and you've got these magnificent parables that wow the crowd, that entertain all those that listen. We are your main crew. And surely if you give multitudes parables that are fascinating, you must have some extra special stuff for your boys that tops the parables. I do, fellas. If I could give you one thing to do while I'm gone, if I could give you one thing to do after I leave, if I could give you one assignment on planet Earth that I want you to follow, here it is. Love one another. And isn't it what's missing today? He talking to his folk. I'm telling you what troubles my heart. What troubles my heart is that we're living in a world where the Lord Jesus Christ is not walking in the flesh. But I'm telling you, my friend, you can see and sense that Jesus is alive. Would somebody say amen? I'm glad that this Bible is alive. How about that? I'm glad that the Holy Ghost is alive. But I'm telling you what is missing in churches, what is missing in homes, what is missing in relationships, what is missing among people that name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is love. Now, I'm not talking about infatuation. I'm not talking about fuzzy feelings. I'm not talking about emotional roller coaster. How many of you know that the devil has done a good job with counterfeiting love, with lust and infatuation and all the nonsense in the world? I'm talking about the giving of oneself. I'm talking about a willing sacrifice. I'm talking about total commitment. I'm talking about an action word. I'm talking about what God wants out of those that name the name of Jesus Christ is to love one another. God, we're missing it. I'd like to take the next two verses and speak on the subject, love one another. Oh, Pastor, that's so simple. Let's find out if you're doing it. Let's find out if you're doing it. I want you to notice that this love one another, number one, is a command extension. It is a command extension. Please understand that Jesus is not giving a suggestion in John 13. Please understand that Jesus is not offering good advice in John 13. Please please understand that Jesus is not saying you'd probably be better off with my counsel if you, no. I want you to look at John 13 and verse number 34 and notice what he said, a new what? Commandment. Say it again, a new what? Commandment. Now, some of you are thinking, what do you mean new? I mean, this is not the first time we heard love in the Bible. I mean, haven't we heard in the Bible, in the Old Testament, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul, thy mind and thy strength. And the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I mean, what do you mean this is a new commandment? Right down now, there's a raised standard. Now, watch this now. They had learned to love their neighbor. They had learned to love God, but they had not yet learned how they ought to love one another. Now Jesus said the bar's about to be raised. In the Old Testament, they only had the law. In the Old Testament, they only had the prophets. But now you've got me. You've seen what I've done. You've seen who I am. You've seen the life that I live. Now I'm saying, fellas, this is a commandment. Now watch this now. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to like you, but I have to love you. Time to raise the bar. It's a command. How you doing with it? How you doing with it? Well, Pastor, I'm just struggling with this thing called love because some people are unlovely. Hang on there, would you? I want you to notice there's a raised standard. I want you to know there's a rightful speaker, a new commandment I give. Please understand who the I is. The I is the Alpha and the Omega. Come on now. The I is the first and the last. The I is the one who was and is to come. The I is the creator of the universe. The I is the one that told them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The I is the one that gave them fulfillment in life.
light when they had none. The eye was the one that calmed that raging storm. The eye was the one who fed that hungry multitude. The eye was the one who had raised Jairus' daughter back to life. The eye was the one who had shown up when there was no more wine and turned the water into wine. I'm just simply saying, I think he earned the right to order his people around. And the next time you look at somebody that doesn't do what you want them to do and you don't love them, remember who told you to. The responsible servants. A new commandment I give unto you. Would you put your name there? When I read it again, say your name. A new commandment I give unto. One more time. A new commandment I give unto. Who is it? Who is it you don't love? Pastor, I don't really want one of these mushy messages. Well, good. This isn't one. A new commandment.
Well, I don't like how you dress. I don't like how you look. I don't like your choice of lifestyle. I had nothing to do with it.
I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, church member. Jesus is talking to you. I'm talking to you. Listen. Come on. Let's hit it between the eyes. Let's hit it with in the heart where God is dealing with. God's talking to you. A new commandment I give unto you. I'm talking to you, kids. Got a classmate gets on your nerves. I'm talking to you, American, that doesn't like somebody that's not from America. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, independent Baptists that think you're better than everybody else. I'm talking to you. Come on now. I'm talking to you, Mr. Clean Cut, about the guy that's tatted all up. I'm saying you don't have to like his tattoos, but you got to love him. Somebody help me preach. There's a command extension. Number two, I won't be long. One church member told me he would need to hurry up and get out because his team played at one. Pastor, could you look out for me? I ain't going to reveal no names. I'm not going to reveal any names of who texted me and said that because it's nobody's business. I'm just saying. He's on the front row and it wasn't Dean. But you know, if I get out for the Cowboys, I got to get out for the Giants, right? And the Skins. A copied example. Here's where we struggle. Because I preached the first point, and there are some of you saying, I'm doing pretty good. I love everybody. And then he puts this clause in, and let's see how you're doing. As I have loved you. As I have loved you. There's a copied example.
Love one another. Hey, fellas, I'm leaving, you're staying, you can't come. But when I leave, do what I did to you.
Well, let's investigate. Jesus loved with a supreme manner. Please hear me out. Jesus loved with an unsolicited selection. He chose to love people when they didn't even ask. Jesus loved with an unconditional sentiment. He had no rules that had to be kept in order for him to love. Help me preach. Jesus loved with an unselfish showing. He got up and washed feet, not because he liked to do it. He did it because he put the needs of others in front of himself. Wow. Jesus loved with a universal spirit. It didn't matter who they were. He loved them. Would you have washed Judas's feet? Because he did. And he knew Judas was going to betray him.
He knew Peter would deny him. He knew the others would scatter away when he was arraigned. He knew Thomas would doubt him.
And yet he loved. Now, I want you to identify right now who you don't like. It don't take you long. I couldn't get out my phrase. I couldn't get out my mouth. You already knew. Yeah, yeah. That kid you say is bad. You love him? That family member who gets on your last nerve, you love him? That friend who you wish wasn't one, you love him? That church member that's not like you, do you love him? Love one another as I have loved you. That person who's weird, that person who's annoying, that person whose idiosyncrasies just make you cringe, do you love them? I don't have to like you. I have to love you. And the church is full of people that do things I don't like. Yep. Yep. You want me to tell you something? Guess what? I do things you don't like. It's the nature of life. But I love you. There are some people in here that require a little more work to love. It doesn't make the command from Jesus any less viable. Love, I'm telling you, we struggle with this. I don't like the way you dress, so I'm going to treat you differently. I don't like the way you talk, so I'm going to treat you differently. I don't like the way you handle yourself, so I'm going to treat you differently. I don't like the way you treat me, so I'm going to treat you differently. I don't like your zip code. I don't like your accent. That's not love. Love one another as I have loved you in a supreme manner. Love one another as I have loved you, which makes up a spiritual motivation. Now here's what Jesus is saying. Because you've experienced it, you should want to express it. Now watch this now. Here's what he's saying. You've been hit with my love so much, you ought to make sure you hit somebody else with it. Do you realize how good God's been to you? Do you realize that there are things we do every day that Jesus doesn't like? Do you believe there's stuff in me right now that Jesus doesn't like? That there's stuff in you that Jesus doesn't like? How many of you glad today that even when you do something he doesn't like, that he still loves you? Aren't you glad that he gets up, that when you get up every day, if nothing else is secure, you know that Jesus loved you? He was trying to tell these fellows, I left the glories of heaven and came down to planet Earth for one reason. I love you. I love you. I love you now. If you get it from me, give it to somebody. Number three, and I'm finished. Jack. I'll be in the foyer. Give me my $100 bill you promised to. No, I'm just... The command extension, the copied example. Number three, the confirming execution. Turn to your neighbor and say, by this. Christine, you have to talk to Nathaniel. Nathaniel, you have to talk to Christine. Just because y'all got a little about 4 feet, you still have to obey. You think your chain with a cross on it is how people know you're Christian? You think all them bumper stickers, you think you got a bunch of bumper stickers on your car and everybody knows you're Christian? You think that song that you sang so well convinces people when they come in this church you're a Christian? You think your Facebook status and how you label yourself on social media determines whether or not they know you're a Christian? Oh, it's your outfit. I mean, we can tell a mile away, but what you wear, you're a Christian. Really? I'm telling you, there's some non-Christian groups that got y'all beat. They don't love Jesus, but the clothes look like, you know, they might. You think if you put a Bible verse and tattoo it on your body where everybody can see it, they know you're a Christian?
Is it how much money you give to church? Is it how big of a Bible you carry? How many tracts you pass out? How much money you give to the poor? How will they know that we're Christians? Jesus said, by this.
There's a distinct action. There's a discerning audience. By this shall all men what? Know. You know what it tells me? They're watching us. Listen to me now. They're watching us. When a visitor walks into this church, I know you're thinking they're watching the choir, they're watching the decorations, they're watching the pastor preach, they're watching the different things in the building, and they're watching all of that, but don't forget, beloved, they're watching how we treat each other. And there you go, in the store. You love God. You love God. You love Jesus. You've been saved. But the cashier doesn't know that. And you're thinking, oh, she knows I'm saved because right before I walked out, I pulled this track out and I said, I'm a Christian. I'd love for you to come visit my church right now. And as soon as I left, she went, oh, that's a Christian. Maybe not. Maybe she saw how you were talking to your wife. Maybe she saw how you were behaving with your siblings. And she went, I'm not going there. I don't care what track he handed me. If that's how they treat each other, that ain't Christian. By this.
It's a distinct action. It's a discerning audience. Please don't underestimate the discernment of lost people. One of the biggest mistakes Christians make is thinking that non-Christians are dummies.
A lost man can spot a racist. Come on. A lost man can recognize a bigot. A lost man got bionic ears to overhear gossip.
You're so busy trying to keep up with your Phariseeism, you better start trying to love. I'm telling you, by this, it's a distinct action. It's a discerning audience. It's a discipleship association. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Not just know you're a church member, a Sunday school teacher, a rev. There are a lot of revs that shouldn't be doing anything but revving up a car. I'm telling you, we need more people to be known as disciples, as followers, as pupils, as mentees of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may never open your mouth. You may never share a testimony. You may never sing a solo, but you can love.
But there's a dependent actuality. If you have love, one for another. Now we've arrived at an interesting part in Christian history. Churches oftentimes have become the least loving places. And Christian people think they're so much better than everybody. They think it's a sin to love. I'm going to love you. You better be glad Jesus didn't do you that way. See, if you're not careful, you'll be doing it and don't even realize it. I sent out a devotion like a couple days ago. Some of you are on that list. Out of Matthew 5. You've heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's the law. See, this is why it was a new commandment. Because the old commandments were always retaliatory. You kill, you get killed. You rob, you lose your arm. You know? Jesus said, I say unto you, love your enemies. Uh-oh. You got any enemies? That doesn't make sense to me, Jesus, because I don't have this nice little fuzzy feeling about my enemies. He goes on in the verse to explain that the love has nothing to do with fuzzy feeling. And then he defines what he means by love by using action verbs. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully treat you. And do good. Ooh. Now here's where I'm asking you today. For the people in your life that you don't like, the list is long, isn't it? Leave room. Do you pray for them? Do you bless them? To bless means to treat favorably. And do you do good to them? I'm telling you, that's a church member in that church. I'm telling you, there's a church member in the church, pastor. They get on my nerves. Every time they come up, they get on my nerves. They're nosy. They bother me. They've done some things about me. You love them? For the kids that ride in on our vans through our bus ministry, have you, I'm talking about you, have you ever loved on one of these kids? But they know I'm a Christian. I'm here every week. By this. Have you ever left your seat and sat with somebody that was by himself? Taking somebody out to eat just because you wanted to. Oh, yeah. And picked up the tab. Your company is overrated. The fellowship was great, but how about the bell? You ever put your arm around somebody, expecting nothing in return. Yeah, that boy right there, look at him, look at him. You can tell something wrong. Be careful. Maybe he's been missing some love. Look at that girl. Look at that girl. She looked like she don't know what she's supposed to be. Why don't you help her, Pharisee? Oh, there he goes again. Oh. Sounds like the conversation among the Godhead, if the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had a flesh like us. By this, what has happened in the world where they don't associate us with Jesus anymore? We're still having church. We're still singing gospel songs. We're still dressing up. We still have Easter sunrise service and Christmas productions. Why is it that they don't think we're Christians anymore? Because we don't know how to love. We don't know how to love. I don't have to like you. I don't have to like a lot of things about you. I really don't. And I don't. I don't like when the sound man up there comes down after service and tells me a long time about why the mic didn't come on in the frequency and why it would be. I don't like that. That gets on my nerves. And he knows it. But I love him. And he knows it. He knows it. And he loves me. Well, he don't love you every time that mic's not on. No. But he loved me on a Saturday afternoon when he spent a bunch of money to buy me some glasses that will help with color blindness. It's love. So you're going to have to decide whether you're going to act or wait on your affections. If people act like that, don't ever have to worry about me being around them. And you don't ever have to worry about them mistaking you for a disciple of Christ. You're going to have to go get your, you're going to have to help somebody that you don't like because you love them. We have run people away from God because we have such biblical positions and such wicked dispositions. Somebody has a death and the church goes, oh, somebody died in your family. Y'all want a funeral here? Well, we ain't seen you in a long time and we checked the records and you didn't give no money, so you can't have no funeral here unless you pay us this much. Where'd they learn that from? Come on. And somebody comes in late to service and the ushers lead them up to the spot where you're sitting. And your flesh goes, this is my seat. If they wanted, they should have got here early and sat here before I sat here. And even then, I would have told them to move. I've been here for 15 years. I've been sitting here. So you don't want to move. Or you let them in, but you're going to make sure they bump your knees 7 times. Because your little unloving self won't stand up and move out the way. Pastor, you preaching? Oh, yeah. I'm preaching, meddling, and everything else. I want this church to be known as a loving church. And by the way, it is. I get more compliments when I go preach places. People tell me that's the most loving church I've ever been in. Don't let compliments make you be content. People be bragging on us. Step it up anyway. Step it up anyway. And by the way, shame on you if visitors know you love them and your own church members don't know you love. Preach, pastor! You ever had anybody over in this church? You had the pastor over? No, I'm just kidding. No, don't worry about that. I'm not offended by that. But some people around here, you could love them. There's some people in this church that I've gone to preach elsewhere. And they said, I came to visit one time and a man offered to take me out to dinner, to treat me to dinner. Do you know that almost 9 times out of 10, they don't even have to tell me what the man looked like? I know it's John Austin. That's his reputation. He just does stuff like that. Loving. You love? Hey, this man was a blessing to me. This man called me up. This man came to see me. This man just looked for a reason to bless me. Yeah, I know. Kind of funny names. Everard. And you think that a substitute for loving is complimenting loving people. I ain't loving, but I just brag on brother. He showed it, love me. Oh, yeah, he showed it, love him. I ain't gonna love like him, but at least I get some points for complimenting him. No. This I command you, not that you compliment love loving people, that ye love. I love you. I love you. So I'm going to quit the message. Oh, now you want, go ahead, pastor, go ahead and preach. You're such a hypocrite. You don't mean that, but you're under pressure. And now you're pointing to the what? Preach, pastor. I just want to hear whatever you have to say. Everybody knows you're a liar. When your pastor says he loves you, I mean it. But I want to show it too. You can give without loving. But you cannot love without giving. I close with this question. How are you loving? Father, help us. We all need help here. pray you'd help us. You got somebody you don't like right now. You think about it. What are you going to do about it? Somebody in your job, somebody in your family, somebody gets on your nerve. Pastor, I'm 100% sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. Would you raise your hand? I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? I know that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. God bless you. Put your hands down. Pastor, I'm going to have to work on it. I'm going to have to work on my love. Come on, be honest. Come on, all over the building. I got to work on it. Pastor's hands up. Yes, indeed. I tell you what. I guarantee you. Because we just don't like some people. Put your hand down. One more question. Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. But I'm 100% sure I do not want to go to hell. Listen to the question. Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. But I'm 100% for sure I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'll not embarrass you or call your name out. I just want to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up, Pastor? I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I know for sure I don't want to go to hell. Raise it, would you? Anybody like that? Thank you. To my left, God bless you. Young person, someone else. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Anyone else? Let's stand together. Father, bless this invitation time for your glory and our good in Jesus' name. Amen.